Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Tuesday, May the 18th, 2021, 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. Well, it's the day after tax day. You know, I didn't mention that yesterday. We're so used to April the 15th, but yesterday was actually tax day, May the 17th. So I hope you got your taxes done and in yesterday, May the 17th. Now, it is Vax-a-Million Day. I'm going to mention this one more time so people can have the information. Now, remember, originally it was announced that you do not have to register to win the $1 million, starting on May the 26th. But you do now. So here's how you do it online. OhioVaxAMillion.com. OhioVaxAMillion.com. No spaces. Now, if you don't have internet, you can call 1-833-4-ASK. ODH 1-833-ASKODH. That's how you do it. So if anybody has gotten registered and would like to share their experience, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. It all started at 8 a.m. this morning, about an hour and 15 minutes ago. And I think we had two or three calls there in hour number one of people getting vaccinated. And I believe we had three people on the internet letting us know that they have been registered, vaccinated and registered, I guess. We did it here on the air, so it's an easy process. So that's how you do it. Any thoughts on that? 740-383-9944. And again, Ryan has won the popping corn on a cob, which he is going to videotape for us. And it's here in the studio, and he'll pick that up 4 to 5 today while Linda Sims is on. Now, Adam the Computer Guy today, 2 to 3. And Linda Sims, 4 to 5, here today on this station. Now, moving on. This past weekend, I went to Russell's Point. Now, last weekend, I went to Amish country and had a good time. And we talked about that on Friday night show. But Russell's Point. Now, Russell's Point on Indian Lake, to me, is a very... It's an interesting place for two reasons. Number one, my grandparents used to talk about going there all the time when they were very young. So I heard a lot about Russell's Point on Indian Lake. And my uncle lived there for a number of years. So, you know, I have been there quite a few times. Actually, there was a radio station there at one point. I'm not sure if it is anymore. And I used to know the man who ran that, and his name just came to me. I could not remember his name at all when I was there on Saturday. But his name is Gene Kirby. I don't even know if Gene Kirby is still alive. But Gene Kirby ran the radio station there in Russell's Point. And I always thought it was a neat idea to have a radio station that just covered Russell's Point. And Gene Kirby did that, and I got to know him. But I didn't see the radio station. It used to be as you went into town. You know, if you're familiar with Russell's Point, you go in and you pass by the area that is Russell's Point. Used to be the amusement park on Indian Lake. You pass by the donut shop, and McDonald's is down there, and Taco Bell, and all those sort of things. But as you're coming into town, there was a radio station, and it was on the left side of the road. But I didn't see it, so I don't know if it's still there or not. But Gene Kirby ran that. It could be Gene might have passed away. It's been a long time since I've talked to Gene Kirby. And he was an older guy back then, about 10, 15 years ago. So not sure if that radio station's still up and running. but great area, Russell's Point. And it basically, the whole area still centers around the idea of what was once the, I believe it was the Sandy Beach Amusement Park there in Russell's Point that closed in the 70s. And all that's left is a bridge. But it's a great bridge. And it's my understanding it lights up at night. And it goes over Indian Lake. And it's a great historic area. A lot of information all around what I would pretty much call kind of a boardwalk area. It's not board, but it's concrete. But there are all kinds of historic information on concrete slabs all around what used to be the amusement park. And the Lady of Fatima is still there. Now, that's a leftover from the amusement park, which is a big Catholic monument, and apparently once a year there's still a big service there at the Lady of Fatima, and you can go over and pray at the Lady of Fatima. There's a kneeling bench there right in front of her. Russell's Point is just, it's turned into a little bit of a party town, because there's a lot of boating there, there's a lot of fishing there, and there are a lot of bars there, more clubs than bars. It's not like the bars here in Marion. More upbeat beach type atmosphere bars, but it's just the most unique area. And my favorite area is the area where the Sandy Beach Amusement Park used to be, because, well, I say the bridge is all that's left. Well, the bridge is left, but right across the street there's a donut shop, which I think is just called the Donut Shop, and it was left over from the original amusement park. It's been there since then. But you can get donuts and ice cream, and I think a few other things there. But they have very weird hours. I think on the weekends they close at 3 p.m., which is kind of strange, because I would guess a lot of people go to that area at night when the bridge is lit up. Now, I was not there at night this past week, but I would like to go back at night. You know, it's only about an hour drive. And you go through Kenton halfway, so if you need to go to the restroom or want to stop off and get a bite to eat before you get over there, you can always go through Kenton and get it. So it's a nice day trip over to Russell's Point. Does anybody have any memories of Russell's Point? A lot of people listening could have went over to the Sandy Beach Amusement Park. I know after Crystal Lake closed here in Marion that a lot of people started going to Russell's Point, because the amusement park was still open there, and I know they had a roller coaster, that was a big deal, but as far as the other things, I don't really know what they had. I don't know if they had merry-go-rounds or stands where you could get food. I really don't know what was there besides the roller coaster. When the amusement park was there, the roller coaster, the bridge, the donut shop, I think that's all that's left. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. My son lives at, has a condo at Indian Lake.
Oh, really?
He can sit on his couch and see the donut shop.
You know, I tell you, that is such a great area.
That donut shop's been there forever and ever and ever, but he's got a little boat that they go out on, but yeah, you can set, because he's on the second floor. He said that he looked at the first floor, but he says you don't see anything there. So the one he bought's on the second floor, and when you sit there, you can see the bridge and you can see the donut shop.
You know what's interesting? I was wondering, and you know, I don't need an exact figure on this, but I was wondering, because there are a lot of condos there, what do one of those run, do you think?
Oh, more than you and I's going to spend.
Is it really that kind of money?
Yeah, it's not like some places, but it's pretty pricey. And they just go up there, well, they own their own business. And so on Saturday, they after they close the store, why, they go to Indian Lake and just kind of loll around. But yeah, they like it up there, you know, so. Yeah, if you sit on his couch, you can see the donut shop.
The donut shop.
And so, yeah, it's a pretty nice place just to go tour around, and it's not that far away. So, anyway, that's all I got to say.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you know, I have never seen the bridge at night. You know, I was thinking about that the other day, and to be honest with you, I did not know until the other day that the bridge even had lights on it, because I don't think I've ever been there at night. I've been there at night, but I guess I never was down by the bridge. Because it's kind of interesting. Down by the bridge, really the only thing in that area, a place where you could eat or so on and so forth, there's a Taco Bell on one side of it, and there's a CVS on the other side of it, and then the donut shop across the street. Well, the donut shop closes at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so you're not going to see the bridge lit up then. And I never went down to Taco Bell at night, and CVS, why would you be down there at dark? So all the kind of club atmosphere areas on Indian Lake in Russell's Point are not near that bridge. So it's kind of hard to, I just never knew it lit up, I guess. So I'm going to have to go over there sometime after dusk to see that lit up. And I would also like to see the donut shop lit up, because there you could tell there are neon lights in the sign of the donut shop, and of course in the daylight you can't see those, but at night I'm sure it's a spectacle, even though they are not open because they close at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But I wonder if they open back up at night. I don't know. To me, it would seem like you would lose a lot of business if you weren't open up at night. And I understand it's a donut shop, but they do sell more than donuts, ice cream, and so on and so forth. 740-383-9944. Any memories of Russell's Point, which I know for a lot of people was the spot when Crystal Lake closed up around here, because people were not yet going to go to Cedar Point or Kings Island. Eventually, that took over and caused the end of the Sandy Beach Amusement Park in Russell's Point. But what do you think about that particular area? 740-383-9944, Russell's Point. And it has become kind of an area where people will get a condo or a house, and they will go over there and stay, sometimes just for the weekend. Sometimes they live over there. But it's not like other areas similar to that, like Lake Erie. It's not like that, where there's a lot going on and a lot of touristy stuff. It's really not like that there. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I didn't catch all your beginning of the second half, but talking about Indian Lake, I'll tell you an enjoyable place to go to over there is the Chilton Hilton. Have you heard about that, or have you been there?
No, I haven't been there.
Oh, my goodness. You and your friend, you go over there, and you'll have a memory spot just like going to see the most beautiful place in the world, and it's called the Chilton Hilton. And go in there, and they got signs all over. You look at something, and they'll have a good saying to them. It's a fun place to go. And hamburger, my God, they give you a hamburger that is out of this world. And they got the Chilton Hilton. And I can't tell you exactly, because it's a little not too confusing, but right in the Indian Lake, I think it's over there around Russell's, or around Turkey Foot, the road going in there, or whatever road. You just ask anybody to say, they'll look at you and they'll say, boy, you've been under a rock a long, you don't know where the Chilton, can you write that down and remember that?
I just wrote that. Now what is it, just a restaurant?
I'm telling you, you look at that thing and you'll say, hey, I'm not going in there, I don't care. You mean Ted and Carol was in that place? Go in there, it's a circus, buddy, and the floors are wobbly, tilting, and this and that, and it's an eyesore when you go by it, but it's a really a memorable place when you come out of it.
Tilton Hilton. Well, I'm gonna put that down on the list.
And, you know, I went to the restroom there, and there was a sign in front of my face. It says, we aim to please. Will you aim, please?
That's a good sign.
Well, I heard about you putting the restrooms in there. That would, some of the people, they have a tendency, they don't want to go by the rules, but they'll see that sign in your new restrooms you got at your facility. We aim to please, you aim to please.
Why not? Sounds good to me. Well, hey, thanks for the update.
You'll love it, Scott. If you're over there, don't miss it.
I will. Tilton Hilton. Bye-bye. Oh, the Tilton Hilton. Well, there you go. There's a new spot to visit. I would go back to Russell's Point in a second. I find it endlessly fascinating, and I would go it in the evening. Now, I wonder how far the Tilton Hilton is from the donut shop area, because I do like that area, and I would like to go back there at night. So, does anybody know of the Tilton Hilton? Does that sound familiar to anybody from the... Well, I guess maybe it's not in Russell's Point, but maybe around Indian Lake over there. I'm sure it wouldn't be far from Russell's Point. So maybe you could go have dinner over at the Tilton Hilton, then head over to the donut shop and see the bridge lit up at night. That would be fun. Does anybody have any other spots over in Indian Lake that are fun spots? 740-383-9944. I'm sure all the fishermen know about this because the fish are jumping out of Indian Lake at this point. When I was over there, you could just see the fish, huge fish, just jumping out of Indian Lake. What a great fishing spot that must be. All right, 740-383-9944. Thoughts on the... Has anybody else been to the Tilton Hilton over in... the Indian Lake area, or did anybody visit the old Sandy Beach Amusement Park when it was there at Russell's Point? It's hard to tell what it was, what it looked like. I know there was a roller coaster. There's a historical plaque there in regard to the roller coaster, but they say all that's left from that amusement park is the bridge and the donut shop across the street. But it's all, you know, there's not heavy traffic there or anything like that, so it's a very easy place to navigate, even on a Saturday when I was there. So there you go, 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz, the Tilton Hilton or the area at Russell's Point that used to be the amusement park. Any thoughts on any of that? 740-383-9944. And again, it's only about an hour drive from here. Very easy drive. And it's all, I wouldn't say country roads. It's not that. But it's no four-lane highways. You know, it's right down 309, and then you get to Kenton. And I forget what road you get on. But it's all two-way, you know, a two-lane all the way there. So it's a very easy drive, and you even come close to Pfeiffer Station while you're over there, so you can stop and get some of Mary's pies and so on and so forth. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I got a memory of Russell's Point when they had the roller coaster. Buddy and I went over there, and it was still operating. So we both have got married in 1962, so we wasn't married, so it had to be a couple of years earlier than that, but not much, but it was working. But I can remember that very well. It was night, and we got on the roller coaster, and we said, we want the best ride we can get, the most scariest or this and that. He said, get on the rear end of it, and he said, it'll be... And they had like a... when you went out over the lake, it was like boards, like a covered bridge, and, oh, man, it was crickety-rickety, but, man, he was going, and there was two girls clear up front, and they were screaming their head off. I didn't know if they was being attacked by a grizzly bear or what. And I thought, what's this all about? And, man, I'm telling you, I did, and my buddy and I, we did go on the roller coaster Russell's Point, and for all the celebrities in this country and stuff, been to Russell's Point and stuff, that, yes, we did we rode on the original roller coaster at Russell's Point in that time of our life.
Very nice. Now, was it better than the roller coaster at Crystal Lake?
Oh, I never was on Crystal Lake. That was back when I was a little kid. When you lived in Marion, you only was allowed maybe if you snuck away two streets away from your residence. And, buddy, that was strict orders. You never... And the North End, oh, my God, that's a long ways from Oakland Heights, man. You never got up in that part of the country, no. So I never did, but I heard that if they would have kept that, Marion would have been still booming big time. That wouldn't have been a ghost town today. You can imagine, instead of going to Russell's Point, you could have that facility and the ballroom, and you could have the big name bands come in here. Why, my goodness, Scott, you would have you could have broadcasted right off the dance floor and the lights, the crystal balls and stuff around, man. Crystal Lake, yeah, you'd have been a celebrity there. Well, well, you are now down on Prospect Street. You're still a celebrity wherever you go, see? Excuse me.
Well, hey, thanks for calling with the memory.
Well, you like that punchline, didn't you? You're a celebrity wherever you go.
Well, you know what?
Give me a little credit for a punchline. Come on, I know the other people you have on there. You said, boy, they're an icon or this, that. Well, I give you a little punchline. You're a celebrity wherever you go. And you've been a lot of places with that microphone.
I have been, and some of them easier than others. Let's say that.
Boy, if it'd carry, you'd have a grand old time over there at the Tilton Hilton. Now, if you go over by there, don't get discouraged if there's about around 20 motorcycles. Those people are human people just like us. They like a good place to eat and a big hamburger. Now, I hope the God is there for you to visualize that and to eat there. You'll say, hey, Ted really knows the good spots.
I'm going to go. It sounds like a great place, a place I'd be. I'd love it. I love places like that.
Oh, you'd love this one. Okay, buddy. Bye.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye. The Tilton the Hilton. Get ready. I'm going to report on this one day. Now, I did get what do you call this? Flyer? Okay. The 41st Annual Logan Hills Festival, Fun, Food, Drama, Drums, and a Parade, Memorial Day weekend, May 29th, 30th, and 31st. This will be over in Logan County, around this whole Indian Lake area. There'll be historical outdoor drama, mountain man events, Native American gathering, pickers auction, all kinds of stuff. Go ahead, caller.
Morning, Josh. How
morning.
You doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Hi. Talking about Indian Lake.
Indian Lake.
All right. When we went over there, until it was on the coast, the old wooden roller coaster, you would park on one side of that and walk under to get into the park. Then what they call a wild mouse. It was like a roller coaster thing, but it went in different directions. They had a big pavilion in the back that you could skate, they had all dances, they had bands in there, and they had, I know you had to see them and hear that. They were called sail planes. It went up and you operated and we went out over the lake. You slide yourself out over it. And all kinds of different games, sea ball or whatever. And then across the bridge, it was an old boat, or building, I think that's what you call it, the old home. They were on the one side with all amusement games. You went around the other side, and there's a bar and restaurant. And you went in there, and there was an old building. And the donut shop was called Hinkley's. Hinkley's Donuts. And they were across the bridge, set up in a corner, down by the restaurant. I don't know what the name of the donut shop is now, but that's what it used to be called, I think.
I think they
and
just called it
the donut shop. Old bridge that went up over. They put the new bridge in, but it was just the other side of it, and it caved in all the boards and stuff and left the framework up. I don't know if it's still there or not, but they used to walk across it, go from one side to the other. And then they had to. It was the state park out there, Blackhawk. Blackhawk, doing fish and picnic and whatever, it was a nice place. So, they had the merry-go-round there, but it was kind of amusing if you wanted to order. But we went there until the time of those.
Well, all right. Well, I thank you for the information.
They put them condos in, and the Fatima, you know, she's still there. But what demise of all of that was the colleges and motorcycle gangs, they started fighting and whatever, and that became part of the ruination of the park. That's the way you go over there, and everything else looks like. That's towards the end.
All right. Well, I appreciate the history. Thanks, Bob. All right, phone lines are open. If the lines are ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Looks like about 38 minutes past the hour here, sharing memories of Russell's Point, Indian Lake area here in Ohio. Great little area over there. The old Sandy Beach Amusement Park area is still there. The amusement park is not, but the bridge and the donut shop are, just called the donut shop now. And Lady of Fatima is still there. And I think people must have weddings and receptions over by the Lady of Fatima, because when I was there this past weekend, they had chairs set up over there. So something was going on over by the Lady of Fatima. Now, remember the Memorial Day weekend, 29th, 30th, 31st May of May, 41st Annual Logan Hills Festival. There'll be a gun raffle, food crafters and veterans parade, pancake breakfast, yard sales, food trucks, literary book sale, library book sales, entertainment, let's see here, a picker's auction, Native American woodland gardening, and my microphone is doing funny things here. Let's see if we can get this thing worked out correctly here. Okay, I think we're back. Mike Wise, mountain man events, and historical outdoor dramas. So again, that's the Logan Hills Festival, 41st Annual, fun food, drama, drums, and parade, Memorial Day weekend, May 29th, 30th, and 31st. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. There's one more thing I wanted to talk about today, but we are really down to 20 minutes here, so I don't think I have time to do it. So I'm going to save that for tomorrow. But if you'd like to talk any more about the Vax-a-Million, or you want to talk about Russell's Point, give me a buzz, and that's how we'll spend the next 20 minutes here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And if you're just tuning in this morning, the Vax-a-Millions opened up today. You do have to enter. As earlier, it was said that you didn't have to enter, but now you do. So you go to OhioVaxAMillion.com. That's OhioVaxAMillion.com. Or you can call, if you don't have access to internet, 1-833-4-ASK-ODH. 1-833-4-ASK-ODH. 740-383-9944 here. Now, another thing I have done recently is we've been talking about the one-way streets downtown. And last week, we went to the Marion Star Archives and learned about how it all became the parking issue downtown, how that all originated. And that happened in 1981 with the streetscape program. Now, 1960, this is from March the 31st, 1960. Now, trying to read this would be difficult because the type is very small. But the headline reads, "Advocates plan at council meeting. One-way project, only logical start for city, Barrett declares. Engineer warns, it's just a beginning, more is needed." Now, basically, what this article talks about is that the streets need to become one-way because of the traffic. Now, there is this page, it was a two-page article on the 31st of March, 1960, and it talks about how there was a lot of worry about parking. There was worry about, is this a good move? There was worry about just a lot of things making Center Street one way. Merchants seem to be worried. So it doesn't seem like it was a big idea even back in this era. But it happened. And it was an idea just to improve traffic. Now, one of the things this article does mention, which is interesting when you look at it, it talks about, because, you know, 423 used to run downtown, which was 23 at that time. We didn't have the overpass back in 1960. And it talked about how that was causing congestion and how more people were traveling 423, and that was going to be an even bigger trouble downtown if something was not done, which was another reason the streets were made one way. So that's the history of that. Anybody have anything to say about that? 1960s, when that all went into effect. March 31st, 1960 is when the planning happened. Now the total change might have happened later, but it seemed to me, after reading this article, that there was nobody planned for the east side of town to become what it did. So that was the idea to slow traffic. Now, I do want to bring something up. Friday night, I went down Main Street for really the first time in a long time since they changed the parking. And I'm going to tell you, now, people can accuse me of being a downer again, but all you got to do is drive down Main Street since the parking has changed. Because now Main Street is pretty much down to just about two lanes of traffic. We'll get to this in a second. Go ahead, caller.
Well, Scott, this is not about that per se, but I was just wondering, since I was awake half the night, does anybody here have any information about the accident that was in the hood last night? Right over there where Delaware and Prospect, and they all come together there at the island. Something happened in the middle of the night, and there was a lot. I heard tree trimming going on and all that sort of stuff, and so I just didn't feel like putting my robe on and walking down the alley to see, but I wondered, like, if Brenda or anybody knew what actually happened down there.
Oh, right over here?
Yeah.
Down by the island?
By the island.
Did it sound like a crash, or?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, but we're kind of used to that sometimes, but, you know, in the middle of the night, and there were fire trucks and police and all that.
Now, what do you think happens? Do they not see the island?
It's possible. Most of the time what happens is when they're going south on Prospect and they make the curve onto Delaware, they're going too fast and they run into the curb, to trees, to, you know, all that. But I think, I'm not sure, but it sounded like it might have been someone coming from the south on Prospect Street, and they might have hit something before they made the turn. But I don't know. I don't know what happened, and I just wasn't that curious that I wanted to get up in the middle of the night.
Well, we'll definitely toss that out to people. But, you know, what I was saying there as you were calling in, now, have you been down Main Street since they changed the parking?
Yeah.
Well, you know something, and again, to being accused of being called a downer here, for reality's sake, I was driving down. I had not been down there and driven it since it had changed. So Friday night, I was down there and I was driving. And I will say that Friday night, there was a fair amount of traffic. About 6 o'clock, this would have been when I was driving by downtown. And now that it's two lane pretty much on Main Street, that's dangerous when people, it's just a matter of time in my opinion, when people park these big trucks, which people have them, the big pickup trucks or big SUVs, they don't fit in those spaces very well. And there were about four or five of them where their rear ends were sticking way out in the road. And if you just went a foot, maybe a foot and a half, just out of your lane, you would sideswipe your car on the back of these trucks.
Well, I can see how that would be a problem, because that's a problem in parking lots.
Yeah, I don't... That I did not expect to be the big issue down there on Main Street. You know, I don't think Main Street is going to get severely congested. I don't see that going down to Tulane. But, boy, this the way people's cars are now, they're so much bigger than they were in the 60s and even in the 80s. And these big trucks, and there were about, I'm going to say, five or six of them down there Friday night. And, boy, it you almost had to swerve to get out of the way of the back of the truck.
Well, I could see where that would be a problem, and I don't know how does anyone do anything about that? How do you know how far out you can be before, you know, you get some kind of a ticket for, I would call it double parking almost.
Well, yeah, how long is a parking space?
I don't know.
Because I think somebody might have, you know, it's a little different down by the county building when they first did this, because down there on Center Street, you do have a lot more room. I think the street is just wider, and there's really no parking on the other side of the street over by the Harding Hotel that's making the street difficult. But down here on Main Street, they've turned that parking on both sides diagonal. So when you have two lanes and Main Street is the only two-way street down there, and you've got these big trucks on both sides of the street, it really is a hazard.
Yeah, that's a modern problem, really. I'm kind of wondering how other cities, how they do that or deal with it. You know, I watch these hometown shows where they redo people's homes, and I'm always amazed at how many of these little small hometowns have the diagonal parking. So it is, it's used a lot, but I don't know how they deal with that.
Well, you know, I know Upper has it. Upper has the diagonal parking, but their streets seem to be wider. Or maybe they don't put them back-to-back like that. You know, if one side of the street was not diagonal, I think it would be okay. But the way that's set up down there right now, it's just these big trucks, and I notice it in the morning at McDonald's as well, because when they get in the line, those big trucks, you know, they take up two car spaces, so a line will move, but you still can't get up to the speaker because the truck is so long.
I know, I appreciate it if I'm in a parking lot and you see a big truck and they park out further, especially if they have a trailer on the back or something.
Yeah.
And that way they're not up close to people, because, believe you me, if you can't go straight across to get out of your parking place and you have to back up, you just inch.
Oh, I guess when I was down there Friday, because I wanted to go down and also look at the parking at the grocery store, because we talked about that Friday morning. And you know what? I really don't think you could get more than 10 cars in that parking lot, but maybe people think it's just not a big parking lot. The problem would not be fitting cars back there, but it would be trying to get the cars out if you got more than 10 cars back there.
Uh-huh.
And I think 10 cars would be quite a bit, but nobody was in the grocery store. I passed by at 6 o'clock on a Friday night, sunny and beautiful. They even had the front garage door open to it. First of all, I'm not sure why you would do that with produce in there, but is that a good idea? I mean, I just looked at that and thought, boy, that's strange for a grocery store.
I would call that enticement. That's
I would think you have fresh produce and meat out in there. You wouldn't want to open up a garage door. But there they were standing, both of the employees, I would guess. They both had aprons on, and they were standing there, and there was nobody in the store, which is unfortunate. But down there where the restaurants are, there was a fair amount of cars, not huge, but like I say, what I was really shocked that in that spot on Main Street, after you pass over a center between Center and Church, now that both sides are diagonal parking, that's a very difficult area when those big trucks are there.
You're more concerned, would you say the concern is more for the moving traffic or people who are actually trying to back out, or just the whole thing in general?
I think it would be both. I think the moving traffic, somebody's eventually going to hit one of these trucks, and that's going to hurt their car, and it's also going to hurt the truck. But I also think backing out might not be so difficult, because if the traffic's slow, which the traffic doesn't seem to be piling up there, I think that'll be okay. But I just don't I don't see how that's not going to happen. It just that street now is so narrow. I'm shocked of all the years driving up and down Main Street, and I wonder why they took the only two-way street, or the only two-way, because Prospect is one way, State's one way, Center's one way, Church is one way, and they're all still, except that little spot in front of the courthouse, or the county building.
I think that probably seemed like the best choice to begin with. I think it probably did, and they're building it up in there. They're really trying to move forward with the a total renovation or, occupancy there. The more places that are open, the more it will draw people in general that maybe don't want to walk all over town.
Well, you know,
I would assume that.
Well, like I said Friday, and you know, when that gentleman called in at the end of the show about being negative, I really do believe this has been one of the problems with Marion in general. Because you look back at 1981, and you look at those papers, and they had the IRMA, you know, the downtown group that was going to fix all the downtown problems, and it was going to rebuild it. And I think one of the problems is here in Marion, you know, there's nothing wrong with being positive. We want to be positive. We want to talk about the good things going on. But when something isn't working right, you have to address it. You can't just throw those people and say, well, they're negative. If it's a real problem, you do need to address it. And I'm not sure why we have such a problem doing that.
Well, Friday was... it was very negative, Scott.
Well, it was, but I just think, you know, who in the world, it's unfortunate to me, because I live here, and I've lived here all my life, that this went on, and at the time they were promising sculptures, and they were promising special signs, and they were promising parking garages, and they were promising all this stuff that they never delivered on. Now, if that stuff had been delivered, maybe we would have never gotten into a lot of the problem we got into.
Well, the parking garage for sure.
Right.
Although I'm not so sure how many people are going to go up and park in a parking garage, probably for the theater, maybe, you know. And was that before the City Hall was up there?
No, I think that would have been after, because this would have been 81.
Yeah.
So to me, it's an interesting thing, because, you know, 40 years at this point of downtown revitalization committees, at least, and people are still having issue. I mean, if you know, we don't have an East Side revitalization committee because it doesn't need revitalized. We don't have a North Main Revitalization Committee because it doesn't need revitalized. You have these committees because work does need to be done. So why would you not point out what work needs to be done?
Well, it's a bigger task, I think, uptown. Out on the East End, it's pretty easy, and they even screwed up, you know, that Scott originally. Because of all the curb cuts and how difficult it is to get in now, they're screwed up.
Oh, sure. And I think people pointed it out to them. And they said, hey, you know, this isn't good. And, you know, how many times have we heard the complaint they haven't finished the road out there by Kohl's, which they were supposed to do? They didn't do that. How long did it take them to finish University Drive? People complained about that for a long time. So it's not like there hasn't been complaints out there, but if you complain about downtown, for some reason people get defensive about that. I think it's
I think it was the amount. I mean, over and over and over and over. You know, I can't help but I stop and think sometimes. I've listened to the old shows, and the other day I heard Charlie say, you know, what we need downtown is a market, you know. So they got a market now. What we need downtown is more parking. Well, they got more parking.
Right, and so, you know, well, maybe it's because people are pointing this out that they're making these changes, but I think, you know, if we all work together and in pointing these things out, you know, this is a good thing, I think. I don't think you point out a problem if you don't want it fixed. You know, if you didn't care, you just wouldn't talk about it.
Well, I know, but you got to do more than point.
Well, I think the problem...
Turn that finger back around and point it at you.
Well, right.
What
and
can
this,
you do?
Get on the air and talk about it.
Okay.
Well, I just... Because beyond running for office, I really don't know what you can do in regard to that. So you got to get on here. But no, my whole thing lately is just frame of reference. Because I think we talk about one-way streets all the time. We talk about parking issues all the time. We talk about why all the merchants left downtown all the time. Well, nobody... 40 years ago, people don't remember streetscape. They don't know that merchants were charged per foot in front of their or their businesses, and they did not want to be charged that. We don't know that they were grants offered that apparently were never paid off. We don't know that... Who had ever heard that the Harding Hotel was going to build a parking garage? Five stories.
I'll be honest, I don't remember, but I wasn't paying... That was when I was raising children, and I paid more attention to the family than I do now. I'm more civic now. But,
right. And 40 years is a long time, and I think that... When you go back and you get a frame of reference, then we can talk about why the things are they are today. It's not the people working downtown. It's not even the politicians who are there today because they weren't there in 81. It's a series of questionable decisions that were made, and I think once we understand, like this whole one-way street, the whole article talks about the congestion because of 423. Well, 423 now is no longer an issue because 23 is out on the east side, which is that's where
right.
all the business went. So when we know why this was done, and it was done because of 423 running through downtown, well, they didn't plan for that in 60. And, you know, how could they? But it's nice to know that's why they did it. And maybe to unding that bell, considering that this is no longer an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't because of parking. It wasn't because of car crashes. It wasn't because of anything but the growing traffic downtown in the 60s because of people starting to travel Route 23 that ran right through downtown Marion. Well,
you deal with what you have at the time, I guess.
Right, and it wasn't their fault because at that time that was a problem. But, you know... I just think I go to downtown Delaware, I go to downtown Upper Sandusky, and I see a totally different atmosphere. And these are the two closest downtown Bucyrus. And I see these are the three closest downtowns to us. And why there's such a difference, I don't understand.
Well, one way.
Yeah. So this is why I think
we have to,
and that's why I think we should talk about that. You know, I guess we can be a cheerleader for the businesses downtown, which I guess is the idea, but people know they're there, I think. I mean, I would hope at this point.
Well, sometimes they add them in, and I don't even know. I hear about a business, so I thought, well, I didn't know that was up there. So
Well,
I was thinking the other night, I thought to myself, you know, when I go out, like say for instance to Panera, when I get done there, I don't think in terms of, well, I'll go back uptown now and shop. I shop where I'm at.
Well, you know, it's the exclamation point on the end of this, I guess, is, you know, the thing I've complained the most about on this show is the restaurants on 95 that I stop at every morning, and the issues that happen there. Now, nobody has ever called in and said, stop being negative about that restaurant. But I tell you, people have a very different feeling about downtown, because they know it's an issue. But as I said Friday, you know, you complain about the television that's not working. You don't complain about the television that is working.
Uh-huh.
And that's how you fix things. And hopefully, over time, these conversations will happen. And I guarantee you, if enough people showed up at city council and enough people were business owners, were forceful in changing these streets and dealing with the parking issues, it would get done.
That's true.
So that's true. Maybe we'll see it. Well, I appreciate you for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that's all the time I have. Adam the Computer Guy, 2 to 3. Linda Sims, 4 to 5. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
And when she finished, my grandmother would say, are you through now? And the woman would say, well, of course. And but my grandmother never got flustered about anything. She was a wonderful, wonderful woman and a great